Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not for January the 13th, 2016. Garrett here, joined by Wade.
Hello, everyone.
We are a man down, and that's okay. We hope everyone a happy lottery night. We imagine you've probably got tickets. Wade, did you get tickets?
I did not.
You are an idiot.
Yeah, but you know, ground control to Major Tom.
Yeah, way to change the subject. I wasn't done talking, but nice try. So, if you're not aware, the lottery for Powerball for the country right now is in the neighborhood of $1.6 billion.
Take a drink. It's the first time we've done it in a while.
Yeah, and pretty much elevates you to Bill Gates status overnight. To put it in perspective, if you were to take the annuity payments, which is the smarter way to go, you would get somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million a year for 30 years, which equates to about $1 million a week. I don't know how you spend that much.
I'm pretty sure someone will figure a way.
I've been thinking.
Uh-oh.
I've been trying to find ways. You would have to be so stupid with money to spend $1 million a week for 30 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't even do that.
I'm just saying, you got to be buying jets and houses for people and jets for people. And that's just the first 2 weeks. I mean, what do you do with the rest of the, I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, I would be so annoyed with people if I won the lottery like that. Cause I know like just people from way, 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 way ago would be like, hey, do you remember me from school? Do you want to go out sometime? It's like, yeah, screw you.
Sure, you're pieing. But didn't you win the lottery? Yeah,
I'm not going out with you. You invited me. Ha!
That's right. I wouldn't tell anybody.
Well, no, but these people would still see, like, oh, look, so-and-so, and your, like, picture posted up everywhere.
I wouldn't tell anybody. I'd delete Facebook. I don't know that I would change my number because no one calls me anyway. But, you know, I wouldn't, you know, the few people close to me would know. Anyone, no one else outside of that needs to know. I'd funnel the money through, through a company or through a financial advisor. And I probably wouldn't quit my job right away. I'd probably work maybe 6 months. I'd get other things in order outside of work. And then I'd put in my 2 weeks like no big deal and poof.
Okay, you heard it here, folks. If he quits in about a month, we got him.
So, anyway, to address your other point, we do want to have a moment of silence for the late, great David Bowie. Okay, moment of silence is over.
All right.
If you didn't hear, he passed away, I believe it was Sunday night, after an 18-month battle with cancer. I think it came out that it was lung cancer. So we wish his family the best in their mourning. And obviously, Mr. Bowie, you will be missed.
Long live the Goblin King.
Long live the Goblin King indeed. His other notables are he played Nikolai Tesla in the movie The Prestige with Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale, along with his many, many musical involvement. He did Bohemian Rhapsody. Was it Bohemian Rhapsody? Was it Under Pressure? I think it was Under Pressure with Queen.
Yeah, it's Under Pressure.
And the International Space Station, one of the astronauts up there, I believe it was, I forget who it was, but did a musical number of Space Oddity to pay respects.
I always thought it was Space Odyssey. I learned something recently.
Oddity.
Yeah. Also, a church did the ringing of their bells in Space Oddity, which was kind of cool too.
Yep. So a lot of respect and a lot of emotions flowing around in regards to the loss of David Bowie. Okay. We got the headline stuff, the big stuff out of the way. Weekend notables, Wade?
No. Still, you know, did the same old errands.
Yep, yes, we did.
No movies to speak of either, unfortunately.
There's been a few I've been curious about, but nothing's been in the cards. Unfortunately, with the new year, all the new year bills have come up.
Yeah.
So I have I've been having to take care of those, which leaves lack for spending.
Look, I don't want to say it's a coincidence, but this is rather creepy. The Deadpool movie comes out on February.
Yes.
My birthday is in February. Deadpool's real name is Wade, and my name is Wade. I am therefore Deadpool.
I am therefore Deadpool. Well, we'd have to get you tested and experimented on and scar up your face pretty good. And then we'll give it a shot.
Where's the Weapon X procedure held?
Yeah. In the sports news, I got to watch the whole Seahawks game this weekend.
Yep.
Which is good. I mean, you've heard me bitch about not being able to watch it. So this week I got able to. Go ahead.
For one of the games, I've been there.
Do tell.
We were both there watching TV when it happened.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago?
Still, I was there when the second one happened. And to hear you're like, why the hell is this game on? Where's the Hawks?
Exactly. It's bullshit. Anyway, so if you've watched the Seahawks-Vikings game, you'll know that that was an ugly game. Vikings should have won that. They didn't. Many people are saying the Seahawks were lucky to win it. I can see that. Now, I listened to a sports commentator today who was taking calls from a Vikings fan, and the Vikings fan said that, you know, the Seahawks were lucky to win that, and the sports commentator replied to him pretty aggressively. He said, first of all, you're wrong. The Vikings, with their primary running back, Peterson, averaged 2 yards per carry. The Seahawks running back, who was third string, mind you, averaged over almost double that per carry. And the Vikings, essentially saying the Vikings quarterback is like a cut rate third, not third string, but kind of, he's not your A-plus quarterback. He's down a few levels. And essentially blaming the offense of the Vikings that the reason you lost is because you didn't score a touchdown. He's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did they have a field goal that should have been made under any sort of criteria? Yes. I mean, the Vikings played at home. They played in weather conditions that should have been more favorable to them than the Seahawks. They should have been able to pull that out. I feel bad for the Vikings kicker, though. He scored all the points for the team and still somehow gets blamed for the loss. So, you know, that's down to there.
Go ahead.
So to finish up with that, the Seahawks unfortunately have the chore of playing the Carolina Panthers this coming weekend, who I believe have only lost one game all season and postseason.
Unfortunately,
so this is going to be a tough game.
Unfortunately, going back to the kicker there, you're only remembered as your most recent screw up.
Yep. You're remembered for your last worst act.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go back to a quote from the original Fast and the Furious. Doesn't matter if it's an inch or a mile, winning is winning.
Pretty much. So that's pretty much does it for the weekend. One other thing. Friday night, my daughter wanted to see, at our old high school, they do a thing called comedy sports. Essentially, Whose Line Is It Anyway? But it's teamed. It's a 4v4 team. And it was current students versus alumni, and it was pretty comical. I think it was $7 a head to get in. The money goes towards the school and the drama program. Had a lot of fun. Daughter liked it. So that was Friday night. Which makes me want to go back and see some of the college, the local improv does a college night. You're at least used to once a week that I'd like to go back to, but I think it's on Tuesday, and that does not jive with my schedule. So there's that.
Yep.
Let's see. Without anything else, let's jump right into the movies. And with the movies this week, there you are. We have three movies to speak of, although it doesn't seem like they're worth the mention. Number one coming out this week is Ride Along 2, the sequel to the Kevin Hart and I think it's LL Cool J. Or is it Ice Cube? I always get them mixed up sometimes. Associated names. Ice Cube. I apologize, Mr. Cube. Along with Ken Jeong, who you'd know from the Hangover series and whatnot. So the sequel to Ride Along 1, this movie is at a staggering 6% critic rating. Six. Single digits.
My recommendation? I'll pass.
Yeah. It is rated PG-13. And it's, again, returning in the lineup for Ride Along 2, the sequel of the blockbuster action comedy that gave us the year's most popular comedy duo, joining Hart and Cube for the next chapter of the series, and director Tim Story. So there's that. And Benjamin Bratt is also in it, along with Olivia Munn and Tika Sumpter. So a few names there.
I didn't know Olivia Munn. Too bad.
Number two in the movies releasing this week. This is not rated by the critics. It is 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. This is based on the book 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi. It is rated R, featuring the acting prowess of John Krasinski. I don't know who that is. Pablo Schreiber, James Badge Dale, Max Martini, Toby Stevens, and David Costabile. I apologize if I get that wrong, but I've never seen your name before.
I've never heard any of their names before.
Agreed. Number three for the kids. This is called Norm in the North. Also, no critic rating at this point. It is rated PG. And a polar bear of many words, Norm's greatest gripe is simple. There is no room for tourists in the Arctic. But when a maniacal developer threatens to build luxury condos in his own backyard, Norm does what all normal polar bears would do. He heads to New York City to stop it. With a cast of ragtag lemmings at his side, Norm takes on the Big Apple, big business, and big identity crisis to save the day. It's got the voice of Rob Schneider, Heather Graham, Bill Nye, no, not the science guy, Colm Meaney, Gabriel Iglesias, a.k.a. Fluffy, and Zachary Gordon.
Bill Nye, Davy Jones and Vampire?
Yes, that one. It was also in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Is it P.S. I Love You? No, not P.S. I Love You. It was Love Actually. Many, many more. I like Bill Nye. I think I like his presence. But I won't be seeing this one. In the box office top four this week, we have Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, pulls in an additional $42.4 million. Still leaving it at roughly, it's either second or third. I think it's the second movie gross overall under Avatar still.
I think it's top of Avatar.
The numbers I looked at today said it was still under it, but those may not be current. However, they say that if you take Gone with the Wind and adjust for inflation, it is the highest grossing movie ever. But you have to adjust for inflation. So take that into account. Number two this week, The Revenant. This is the Leonardo DiCaprio wilderness movie, pulling in $39.8 million. Daddy's Home in third at $15 million. And The Forest at $12.7 million. Now, the last week, there was no critic rating on that. It is sitting at 11% critic rating.
Ah, okay. So from The Hollywood Reporter, box office, Star Wars now unlikely to beat Avatar global record. So I am wrong.
There we go.
Now, I'll be man enough to admit it. It'd be interesting, though,
because I think Avatar, they actually did two runs in the theater with it. They had it out originally, and then they, you know, the original launch, and then they waited, or they took it off, and then they had like a resurgence later on. I don't know if they did like a digitally, like the director's cut or something, but I think they put it back in theaters again.
That's kind of cheating, isn't it? So
it is kind of cheating. Now, if Star Wars were smart, Disney, are you listening? Maybe a month or so before you release Episode 8, you re-release Episode 7 and let people watch 7 and get in the theater, get it good and fresh in their heads so that when 8 comes out, they're ready to go.
No, or you know what,
you do a double feature, 7 right into 8.
You know what they'll do? New, digitally remastered.
Yeah, from 8 months ago, Star Wars Episode 7.
Where we added a single car on the left side of the screen on that one frame.
We made the blaster sounds a little bit louder. So yeah, I think Avatar had a couple of runs in the theaters, which might skew it, but I'd have to look that up to be sure. Let's see. Pretty quick and dirty on the movies. I still want to go out and see Concussion if it's still in theaters. Maybe this weekend. I don't know. We got the key. It's the one that's
Yes.
Will
okay,
Smith,
sorry.
The football movie.
Yeah, I've wanted to see, was it the Forest with Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones?
Yep.
That's something that looks pretty good.
It's at 11% critic rating.
Okay, damn. There's something else I wanted to see.
Hateful Eight.
There we go.
That's at 74% critic rating, so that would be worth seeing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if we'll do any movies this coming week. We'll see how it goes. You might. You've got some days off. But
yeah, I've got some days off, and I've got some extra tickets laying around here.
Yep. So
that could be a very good, like, raffle thing off for followers. Just a thought.
It would be a good one. Something to think about. If you guys would like to win movie tickets, give us a shout out on Facebook or at Twitter. And with that, let's jump into some news action.
All right. Well, starting off, we come in with the Honored game has, God dang, how is this? I am tripping over myself. Has announced that it will have a single player campaign. Now, this is good news, considering that we do have some games that have been shipped recently that do not have single player campaigns, but they were still shipped at the same price at $60. And you know, it kind of got me thinking. It's that, where do we draw the line? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure you can get, you know, $60 of entertainment out of a game that doesn't have a single player or a game that doesn't have a multiplayer. But I always thought, you know, with half the game missing, technically, you know, should we still pay for those games full price in terms of where we are, $60-some-odd?
I mean, that's obviously up to the purchaser, you know.
That's the entertainment per dollar ratio. Everyone has one. It's where you lie.
Yep. If you're a online player, you're big into the, you know, like the Call of Duty shoot 'em up kind of stuff, and the multiplayer is important to you, then you don't care. To me, I mean, as much as I'd like to jump in and do a little bit of multiplayer on certain games, it's not the necessarily the focus with respect to the game. I say that I've been playing Rust like it's going out of style. In fact, just for fun numbers, since I got Rust, which has been some time, I bought it when it was pre-legacy, all that kind of stuff. I've put over 1,300 hours into Rust.
This was back when zombies were in the game.
This is true. So, I mean, and that's purely online. It's purely multiplayer. But the way that game is, the multiplayer is the story. It's not just a pure spawn-in deathmatch for 5 minutes. Okay, great. Do it again. So you can accomplish something. So that's the benefit there. I like campaign stuff. I like the story of games to a point. I don't like to have to collect 500 little fragments of paper for a little bit of lore. That is tedious to me. But games like Assassin's Creed, I've enjoyed the story and some of the underlying plots of that game. I was actually disappointed when they did away with some of it. But, you know, it's up to the buyer. It's up to the community. If you're a deathmatch player and you love your Call of Duties or Battlefield and Battlefront and all that kind of stuff that doesn't have a campaign and you're willing to spend $60, great. If you're not, then don't buy the game. You know what you're getting into. If you got $60 sitting around and you don't care, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just the thing for me. It's, and you know, granted, there are games that I played that have not had multiplayer, you know, and I played a lot of it. I remember the first BioShock. I don't know how many times I replayed that game. There was no multiplayer in that. And it was still an amazing game. If I can still buy it on Steam, and I can, but you know, I've already played it so much, it's like, all right, I know the story. But it would be pretty good on PC. Anywho, so we're getting into a state where, you know, where do we draw the line? Is it, you know, do we still pay $60 for a game that is technically half there, considering the differences? You know, that's for, obviously, the consumer to decide. And when, and I'm interested to see on where that goes.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's going to be purely on the gamer. And if enough of the community decides that, you know what, a game that's only multiplayer for deathmatch purposes, you know, is all you're giving me, and I have to pay the same price as a game that has that and a legitimate story mode, that's not DLC, that's available at launch. It's up to them to decide that. I mean, I haven't bought a AAA title in like a year.
Yeah, I can't remember when last time I did either.
You know, I bought Assassin's Creed Rogue that's still in the plastic. I haven't even played it. There's so many games on PC for so cheap that you can get a game you can sink a ton of hours in and not spend, you know, $60 to do it. Or you could take that $60 and, you know, buy multiple games and have that much more entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's the player's preference, and I'm really, really interested on how the community will go with these. Will it be supported, you know, and I have no problem with it? Or will it, you know, they'll say, you know what, we kind of still do want a storyline with our games, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that thinking, it's just going to be a bumpy ride, maybe, but it'll be interesting to see.
I agree.
It's as long as they don't say, hey, we're going to release a game, but you're going to have to buy the multiplayer in DLC. It's like, no.
That's fine if the campaign is $30.
Yeah, well, if the campaign is $30, but if it's a full price game, then you have to buy the multiplayer as DLC. It's just, nope, middle finger.
Yep, exactly. Are we good? Moving on?
Yep. Your turn.
So SpaceX, if you haven't seen this floating around the internet, you really should take a look. We have posted the video on our Facebook page, but it is the Falcon 9 launch, but more importantly, the landing. So if you're familiar with NASA and rockets and whatnot, you have a primary thruster that jettisons, or not jettisons, but propels the overall rocket to a certain stage in flight. And then it detaches and the secondary booster kicks in to continue the capsule or personnel carrier further while that primary booster, you know, either floats off in space or tumbles back to Earth uncontrollably into the ocean and is gone. Well, SpaceX with Elon Musk have developed the Falcon. And what it is that primary booster that once it detaches from the rest of the rocket, it returns to the landing platform, controlled. So the December, they had a mission. It was an overproduced PR effort from Musk and his crew, but an enjoyable 4-minute summary where it shows the liftoff onboard cameras showing the secondary, that primary thruster, and then shows it detach and it descends and engages a thruster to reduce its rate of descension. And then it's got these flaps that kind of come down. I assume they're probably for stability when it hits the ground for it to be balanced and maintain its orientation. Which means, potentially, that instead of fabricating a rocket and having the potential for error that we've seen with previous rockets from NASA, you have one that works that you can now potentially reuse. You refill it with fuel, you replace the parts that you know, wear out or get damaged. Burn out from the thrust and whatnot. And you've got a third of your ship that's ready to go for the next one. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, NASA could use a, or could learn from this We always see, I always seen it like, oh, NASA fired off a rocket. Well, there's 2 billion gone.
NASA actually fires off very few rockets nowadays.
But still, it's like, you fire one rocket, you're still losing a decent chunk of change, considering everything that just falls away.
So right now you have SpaceX and one other company that have rockets that are sending supplies up to the ISS, which is the International Space Station, not to be confused with ISIS, the terrorist organization. But all the personnel transport has been coming from Russia. Recently, we talked about NASA contracting to SpaceX and the other company, I forget what it is, to manufacture a man carrier so that we don't have to rely on Russian technology or Russian space system, space organization, whatever it is, and we can start doing it domestically. And having a rocket that can be reusable within limits sounds pretty good to me.
Correct.
Okay.
You done?
I am.
All right. For our final story of the night.
Yeah, we may have one more.
Oh, okay, fine. Turn me into a liar then.
I enjoy it very much.
Jerk.
You're welcome.
For those, The Division, Tom Clancy's third-person shooter post-apocalyptic game will be going into beta later this month on January 29th. The signups for this beta has already been released, and the link for that is in the show notes, so have fun with that. This game was, I think, announced either 2014 or 2013 E3. I've actually kind of had my interest in it. And it looks like a pretty good kind of multiplayer, massively multiplayer, third-person shooter, post-apocalyptic tactic game. So it looks, sounds kind of fun.
Interesting.
Where you and friends get in a group and you go out in this pretty much a wasteland because a disease that was carried on. Currency pretty much killed most of the population.
What's the game called again?
The Division.
Okay.
Pretty much killed most of the population, and you are a task force, or a member of a task force, that is, you know, pretty much trying to somehow keep the peace and, you know, stabilize the country again. Or the world again. So, you know, as you go through, you pick up more and more loot, and, you know, there's obviously kind of, you know, RPG elements in there where you get better and better stuff for your character. And from what I saw in some of the gameplay trailers or gameplay showcases, you could access, you know, some through your tablet. To have a little drone, you know, go around the battlefield, help out your friends when you're not at the computer, and, you know, could take out a guy or two who are sitting, like a sniper sitting, you know, on a rooftop somewhere behind a sign, you know, taking pot shots at your team.
Interesting. It looks like there's some fan talk, though, about how similar The Division is to, was it Ubisoft's Watch Dogs? Wasn't that Ubisoft? I'm not sure if it was or not.
I've never played Watch Dogs, but I don't see how that's similar, because Watch Dogs was basically you being like this super elite hacker.
But I'm talking about the gameplay style. I'm not talking about story. I'm not talking about whatever, but it's third person. It's going around. It's interacting with things. It's, I mean, it just looks like there's some comparisons between the two. I don't know if it's good, bad, or other. It is Ubisoft, by the way, but... I'm just seeing some pictures online, and it looks like they're comparing the two for whatever reason.
It's still different. It's you're a hacker in that one, and you're not really, you know... I guess there are combat, you know, in that game, but I don't really see your character...
I think it's more the visual aspects. They're both third person. They both have similar art styles. They're both in a, you know, just kind of similar atmosphere, maybe. Anyway, it looks like there's some discussion on that that, you know, might that, warrant further investigation.
That's actually kind of gotten annoying to me, is that when a game comes out and people are like, oh, so it's like this and like that. It's like, can we just play the games? Like, I'm so tired of hearing how it's like this one game released like 3 years ago.
Well, let's slow your roll a little bit. Sometimes people are just looking to make comparisons so that they feel like they're going to have some familiarity with the game. They're not trying to bash it because it's like a game that came out before. I mean, for that statement, I mean, look at Call of Duty. Every game is just like the one that came out before with a few subtle tweaks. That's why I haven't bought a Call of Duty game in 5 years. I don't care.
Since Modern Warfighter, it's actually been somewhat different.
Yeah.
It's been given a bit more of a needed injection of pretty much adrenaline and testosterone into the arm. So from what I hear, the multiplayer has sped up quite a bit due to the new mobility in that game given to you by the power suits, I guess they're called.
Yeah.
Bionic like equipment.
The exosuits or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of my problem with the game like Call of Duty, is because in a real firefight, you wouldn't just be running through the map and shooting whatever. You would I want to see a game that's more tactically multiplayer. You've got to go around the corner. It's like
you want Counter-Strike. That's what you want. You want Counter-Strike Go.
Yeah, maybe I do. I haven't played it, so I don't know. Where people aren't just running through the map trying to see how many they can kill before they die. The objective is to kill everybody before dying at all.
That's Counter-Strike. So. And there's no like, oh, you're getting hit with like 20 bullets. It's like, here's two.
Yeah, that's more realistic. Anyway, I may have to give that a shot.
Yeah, you may. It's
so The Division, Tom Clancy, rest in peace. That beta is available for sign up. Again, link in the show notes.
It should be released or opened for closed beta on July 29th.
And so. It says the initial release date is sometime in 2016. So if you are looking towards this game, keep your eyes peeled. It's coming.
Tell you what, both games that we discussed on this podcast, I'm interested in For Honor and The Division. They look pretty good.
There you go. The Division is on Windows, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4 platforms when it releases. As far as the beta goes, I don't know if we figured that out.
You will have to sign up for Uplay if you want to use this, if you want to get access to the beta. So I'm sorry in advance.
The Division is Ubisoft as well. So yeah, you will you'll need the Ubisoft package. So they're both Ubisoft, so I guess it's, you know, doesn't really matter that they're similar because it's by the same production company.
You know, it's like saying, it's like comparing Skyrim, Elder Scrolls Skyrim to Elder Scrolls Morrowind. Yeah. You know, it's they're both by Bethesda. It's like, okay, guys.
Yeah. I think finally tonight, we have a little bit of drama in the Hollywood world, mainly caused by us, or you, the fans. I have not taken part of this, so I don't claim to have to be a cause. But Star Wars Episode 9 director responds to petition asking him to be removed. So the Episode 9 director, Colin Trevorrow, is aware that there's an online petition created by the fans for him to be fired from the director position and to open up a hole for George Lucas to step in. The director said that he will do his very best. He doesn't intend to step down. He remains determined, and he tells Entertainment Tonight that he will do his very best to keep George Lucas's spirit alive in this movie. According to the petition, which is still available to see on change.org, fans are asking for the studio to remove Trevorrow and replace him with Lucas. However, Lucas said that time and time again that he's not interested in returning to the series. What I don't understand is these people that don't do their research, or maybe I'm in the wrong here, but the people that I know that are really big Star Wars fans, all the movies that George has really had a pretty significant hand in, Episode 4, The Phantom Menace, along with the prequels as a whole, have been generally not the greatest Star Wars movies from a quality of filmmaking. The ones that he wasn't as involved in, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, have been decent movies for movie's sake. And now you want to remove somebody and bring in George, who historically has a track record of not necessarily making the greatest movies. He maybe have a great vision. What he's done with Star Wars is mind-blowing and amazing for anyone to come up with this and to be this strong with it. But to be involved in the production factor after he sold his rights to Disney, after he then bashed Disney while, you know, still accepting their money, you know, him being at the helm of this is not going to happen.
He bashed Disney? How?
He publicly stated something about child labor or whatever. It was pretty poor conduct on his part. Let's see if I can do it. Find it.
All right.
George Lucas bashes.
So it's pretty much safe to say that, you know, he's a good foundation maker. You know, he is able to put that nice structure down, make the universe. But when it comes down to put the supports for the building, where he kind of falls to pieces.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So it's I'm kind of not agreeing with this petition because, you know, geez, let's get some new blood, please. You know, let's find some better directors, or well, not say better directors, some new fresh directors that who could actually become legends because of doing something.
Yeah, apparently he compared Disney to being white slavers, and has since, you know, recanted or backtracked on some of his slams. But it sounds like he pretty aggressively bashed Disney at some point here in the not so distant past, and has had to backtrack on it. But I mean, people got to get their facts right and got to realize what they're really asking for. And he's pretty much wiped his hands of Star Wars. I mean, he's having a hard time letting go because he created this whole thing, but he did sell all the rights to Disney. He's got no part in it. And now you want to bring him back into the fold. That makes no sense to me.
And on a second kind of notch onto that, what I was going on is, really, you want someone who pretty much has no interest. So it's not going to be all that mind-blowing because he's not going to put that much energy into it.
Yeah, not as much as someone else who might be really passionate.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, why? You know, this is the whole thing. It's like, why do you want him to do it when he stated he doesn't want to do it? So there's not going to be any energy, which means it's not going to be that good.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to turn around and go, oh, episode 9 was a piece of crap. It's like, well, it's your freaking fault for doing this then.
Yeah, and you got to realize they're pretty much working on episode 8 and 9 as we speak.
Yeah.
You know, they plan on releasing a Star Wars movie every year for the next couple of years. But whether it's
the
primary story or whether it's like there's supposed to be a movie on some of the rebel actions that aren't necessarily tied to the primary Skywalker tale that we're seeing. But some of the other stuff that happens alongside of it, which would be cool to get a bigger view of the universe as a whole instead of just this little snippet.
Yeah, there's a movie coming out in the Star Wars universe. It's called Rogue One.
Yeah.
So I think that's what you're referring to.
That's the one.
I think it's actually a female fighter, female fighter pilot. Not that I have anything against female fighter pilots, whatever. It's cool. You know, I'm interested to see, you know, to see Star Wars universe away from the lens of one family's drama.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So, So yeah, let's let the people who make decisions keep making the decisions and hope that they put out good quality content.
We have an amazing year in terms of, you know, what's coming out both in movies and in games. Can we just let it happen?
That's right.
I mean, hell, we have Deadpool, Batman versus Superman, Was it? Do we have Adventure? No, probably. Will we see an Adventure this year? I don't know.
I don't know. I doubt it. But we have the Civil War. Civil War.
Yep. There we go. You know, obviously, you know. Well, Marvel is Disney as well, so
it is
freaking monolithic company.
We might have another Star Trek movie coming out here in the not so distant future.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's this year, maybe next year, because I heard there was supposed to be at least three. With the original cast that they say original, with the rebooted cast. So there's a lot of stuff in the pipe, you know, and let's just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. You know, and that goes on to another thing that I always hate is people overhyping things.
Well, I mean, what is hype? Define hype.
Well, people are like, oh, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for this. There's times where I have not seen a commercial for a movie or a trailer for a movie or whatever. And it's all been like through other people, third party sites.
Okay.
And then they sit there and go, oh, well, it wasn't as good as it was hyped. It's like, you're the one doing the hyping.
Well, but again, what is hype? It's people expressing their excitement for something that's coming out. You're hyped about Deadpool. You know nothing about Deadpool aside from the two trailers that came out and a little bit of the character backstory. But you're excited to see it. You're hyped to see it, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going around being like, oh, I can't wait for the new Deadpool movie here, and I can't wait for the new movie here, and I can't wait for this here, and I can't wait for this here. It's like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm excited.
Do you talk to people about potentially seeing Deadpool?
I said, like, you know what? I'll probably see it. That's all I said.
So you're part of hyping it. You're part of what you're complaining about.
But I'm not going around saying, oh, this is going to be an amazing movie.
Just because you're doing it on a small scale to coworkers doesn't mean you're not doing it. We have to realize what hype is. I, like you, get discouraged when people talk a lot about something and it ends up being a disappointment. I felt that way about Breaking Bad. People say it's this fantastic show. It was. People were very excited about it. They thought the way it was done was fantastic. I said, okay, there's a lot of talk. Let's watch this and see what it's about. I was curious as to what happened next when I watched it because I blew through all six seasons relatively quick. But I didn't come away from the show with, wow, that was the best show that I'd ever seen. Now, maybe that's because it was hyped and the expectations were set really high and it didn't meet those expectations for me. Maybe if I saw it when it came out before all the hype, I would have had a better view of it. Or maybe it's just not my style of TV that I enjoy. But hype is just the expression of excitement for something. Some people jump to the media sources to express it. Some people talk about it personally. You're never going to get rid of it, whether it's games, whether it's whatever, because all that shows is that marketing for that game did a good job. They got the information out. They got people talking about it. They got word of mouth to spread. And they sell more stuff. So that's not going to change.
One of the best times I've had was, you know, I'm not a fan of the slapstick or more, you know, kind of stupid comedies. You know, so back, this was years ago, the Borat movie came out.
Yep.
You know, people saw that and were like, oh, it was so funny, it was so amazing. I watched it, really wasn't like, okay, this isn't really that good, in my opinion. The next one, Sacha Baron Cohen was going to come out with was Bruno. You know, I was just like, dude, the first one wasn't that good. And people were hyped about it. And, you know, I remember people were like, oh, we're going to go see Bruno. And they went and did it and went, asked him, said, you know, how was it? And they're like, oh, it sucked. We stared at a guy's reproductive parts for about 5 minutes. I'm like, and yep, there we go. Just saved myself staring at a guy's
junk
for, you know, 5 minutes because I really didn't see, you know, follow the hype and didn't see apparently what other people were saying and glad I didn't. Of course, then he came out with The Dictator, which I don't think came out was that good either. You know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but for me, that, you know, I didn't really hear much of that after it came out. So I'm just apparently not a Sacha Baron Cohen fan.
Yep. All right. Well, I think I'm done on my end.
I'm good here.
So, again, if you're interested in winning movie tickets, or if it's a prize you'd like to receive, let us know. Talk to us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, Facebook is facebook.com/abundance.not. Twitter, we are at abundance.not. Wade is at AAONCWAL599. Hit us up. Let us know what you thought and what you want. And we will talk to you later.
That is a wrap, and keep on gaming.